Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. And we're going to be looking here this morning at the title, Salvation Unto the Ends of the Earth. And, of course, we've been discussing this truth unto the furtherance of the gospel. And what a great study this has been for me. Hopefully it has been for you as well. And though I've heard many messages preached on the Great Commission, and though I've preached through the Great Commission as well and preached through some of those truths and all, just going through this study has opened my eyes to some things that the Lord knew that I needed my eyes open to, and I appreciate that. And today we are looking at salvation unto the end of the earth. And I mentioned something last week that hopefully we all caught on to. And it's just been something that's been just going over and over in my mind. And that is this. With the Great Commission, there is no stopping place. There is no place at which we say, well, we can go this far and then that's far enough. No, we must keep going. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, as we talked about last week, that verse there that we just read, when it says both, and it goes on to talk about all of these different areas there, it is talking about how we are to do all of these things all at the same time. If there is a church that is going out, they're knocking on doors, they're soul winning, they're giving out tracts, they're doing all of that in their own Jerusalem, are they fulfilling the Great Commission? No. They're fulfilling part of the Great Commission. What if someone goes and they reach their state and that's as far as they go? Are they fulfilling the Great Commission? No, it is different parts that make up the whole. I truly believe that to be a Great Commission church, we need to be soul winning. We need to be discipling, which is teaching believers how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then also we need to have a part in church planting. I appreciate our missionaries that are church planting missionaries. Because that's how it should be. You should not go out and just win a bunch of people to Christ in an area and then leave. No, we need to establish a church there and allow the Lord to do a great work in that place. So salvation unto the ends of the earth. We need to do all of these things all at the same time. Now, we're told to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, notice, to the ends of the earth. Now, this was mentioned over and over again, of course, between the Lord's resurrection and his ascension. And over in Acts chapter 13, verse 44 through 47, I'll read that here very quickly. Acts 13, 44 to 47. The Bible says this, Acts 13, 44 through 47. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What a wonderful thing that would be. Amen. It says almost the whole city. I wouldn't want to be the one that was staying in my house when almost the rest of the city was there hearing the word of God preached. Amen. But it says in verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation, notice, unto the ends of the earth." Saw a thing the other day and it said all of these flat earthers, these ones that believe that the earth is flat, they don't know what to do with themselves when they realize that they live in the atmosphere and not the atmosphere. Amen. But we're to go to the ends of the earth. Amen. That's where we're to go. And praise the Lord that there is no stopping place. Let's keep going for the Lord. But in our human mind, doesn't that seem like an impossible task? Think about it. Unto the ends of the earth. All of these millions upon millions of people, and we're told to go there. But it's impossible without the Lord. But we can take this, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world if we do it with the power of the Lord. You know, there's a call for believers to be New Testament church pioneers. You know, a pioneer is not someone who goes in behind someone else and goes in and keeps up a work. You know what a pioneer does? They go in and they start the work themselves. Of course, with churches and those things, we do it with the power of God. We're never alone, amen. But it's someone who is willing to go somewhere that maybe no one has ever been and start something there for the glory of God. We need to be New Testament church pioneers. We need to recapture the term, the pioneering spirit that springs forth from the faith life. But it's awfully easy to just come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just go through our life, and that's just what we do. It's easy to do that, but we need to be pioneers, willing to do out there what we are told to do when we come into this place. We read of Abraham, of course. This man was searching for a city whose builder and maker was God. He had a pioneering spirit, and we as believers need to have that same spirit. We need to take that next step of faith. But understand that taking that step of faith, taking salvation unto the ends of the earth, understand that does not mean that you're always going to see the possibilities. It means you're going to see the impossibilities. In our mind, that's what we're going to see. In our mind, as we go forth and try to do these things that God has called us to do, you know what our mind is going to ask sometimes? A powerful three-letter word. How? How are we going to do that? Or why? You look at a group of people and maybe you're burdened to reach those people, but you see the way that they're living. Oftentimes our human mind is going to say, why would I go to them? Why would I try to reach them? In our minds we would say, they have nothing to offer. Or in our minds we'll say, they don't deserve it. Well, none of us deserve it either. And you know what we have to offer? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. But the Lord died for us anyway. Praise the Lord for that. Don't look at just the impossibilities. Look at those things and realize that with the power of God, we can do those things. Because with God, all things are possible. You know, every church needs people with a pioneering spirit. We do not need churches that are only full of stories about how God moved in the past, but we need churches that are full of people who can say, yes, God moved back then, but let me tell you how God moved in my life as well. That's why I love having a testimony time. I love hearing about how God's working in people's lives. I love hearing about the time in which a person got saved because that is something that's personal. We're not talking about something that happened in someone else's life. We're talking about something that God did in our own lives. You know, we're sitting here in a facility today that God has used for many years. And though there are great things that have happened in this facility, those great things need to continue because what needs to happen is this generation, yes, we need to teach them about the things that God has done, but understand we need to teach them how to follow God so that God can continue to do great things through this generation. If the generation that is coming up, if they don't see God working in their own lives, notice, this church will cease. The church of God will not cease, but this church will cease because it's about what God is doing in lives today. What are we going to do? Are we going to allow the Lord to work? You see, if we do not teach this next generation what the Lord can do, then we will find ourselves in the same situation that we see over in the book of Judges. Look over there, if you will, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And look at verse 10. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. I don't want this generation to be known as what we see here in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. Notice, it says this, Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. Notice, and there arose another generation after them. So we're talking about Israel in the beginning of this verse. Israel who knew God, ones who were following God, ones who had seen God work in their lives. Now, they've passed on. And there arose another generation after them. So this is their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Notice, which knew, notice, not the Lord. But not only did they know not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They didn't know how God could work in their life because they had not been taught what God had done in their parents' lives. Lord, help us to be a witness with our personal testimony. We need to tell people what God has done in our life. If we go to someone and say, well, you're a wicked, rotten sinner and you need to be saved. Will some people get saved? Some may. But what if we go to them and say, let me tell you what God did for me. And I know that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you as well, because I'm still a sinner. But I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. Amen. I've done things that was against God, but God died for my sin. He sent his own son to die on the cross for me. Telling them what God has done for us is a great help in our personal testimony. Too often we see the responsibility of soul winning and those things as the responsibility of the pastor or of the deacons, and it's a responsibility of every believer. All of us should be doing that. We should all be teaching people about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way that the job gets done is if all of us do it in the power of God. So notice, first of all here, in order to take salvation to the ends of the earth, first of all, we must have a biblical beginning. We must have a biblical beginning. You know, prayer is something that is missing in today's time. But you know what prayer is? Prayer is this. It is the declaration of our dependency upon God. You know, all of us, at some point or another, we have the desire to do something ourselves. I don't want to go ask for help. I want to do it myself. I live in a way in which I just pull myself up by my own bootstraps and just do something on my own. You know what prayer is? It's humility. It is us telling God, Lord, I can't do this, and I need your help. Why is it oftentimes that when people are going through a trial, maybe a terrible health crisis or something like that, why is it they say, I'm closer to God than I've ever been? Because what they've done is they've came to the point at which they realize, I can't do anything on my own. I need God's help. All of us have been there. I remember when Paisley was born, we had her there at Christiana, and so they wanted us to be close to AI DuPont. And I can remember as we were, as my wife was expecting Paisley, the doctors told us there was going to be some abnormalities there, and they didn't know the severity of them and all of that. And I can remember I was counseling with Pastor Moore, me and my wife were, and he would call us after doctor's appointments and check up on us and those types of things. And we just didn't know what to expect. And going into that, as we were going in, as my wife was going to give birth, it was a C-section, so it was scheduled and all of that. Going into that, in our minds, we were prepared. In our minds, we were ready. We knew that, okay, she was going to give birth to Paisley, and they were going to take her right over to AI DuPont, and they were going to care for her there. In our minds, that's just the way that it was going to be. Well, Paisley was born, and Paisley was doing very well, and they said, we're not going to take her to AI DuPont. We're just going to keep her here in the NICU, and we have all the care she needs here. We said, okay, great. And a few days later, we were downstairs just a couple hours away from being sent home, and I was on the phone with a friend of mine and just letting him know how the Lord had worked greatly in that time, and just a couple hours just waiting for the discharge, and all of a sudden alarm bells go off through the whole NICU. Of course, in my mind, alarm bells had went off before, and it was always someone else's child. Well, alarm bells go off, and I see the nurses run by. I'm standing at the front of the NICU, and I'm on the phone, and nurses run by, and of course, I know exactly where Paisley is down there, which room she's in, and they're running, and in my mind, they're either going to stop before her room or run after her room. But they took a left turn, and they went into Paisley's room. Now, Paisley was sharing a room with a little girl named Diamond, who Diamond ended up passing away. She had a problem with her heart, and she ended up passing away there. But in my mind, well, they went to that room, they must be in there for Diamond. They weren't in there for Diamond. They were in there for Paisley. Paisley's oxygen had dropped into the teens, and just a very scary circumstance. Just completely blue. Had to intubate her and rush her over to AI DuPont and all of those types of things. In my mind going into that, we were ready. You know what the Lord taught us through that time? We have no control. None at all. But the Lord taught us who was truly in control. Now, before that, if you had asked me, is the Lord in control of all this? I would have said, absolutely, He's in control. But going through that, it taught me just how in control the Lord truly is. The Lord puts us through things. You know what that's done through different times in our life with raising the kids and different things that we've gone through with Paisley? Here's what it's done. It's taught us, no matter how much we think we're in control, God is in control. And He's got us going through things for a reason. You know, we need God's help. We can do all that we have the strength for. We can knock on every door on that map on that back wall. We can hit every single street, every individual. But without the help of God, we're doing it all in vain. We have to have a biblical beginning. In Matthew chapter 18, we won't turn there for time's sake this morning, but in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 18 and 19, we read the word agree there. And it's speaking of being in agreement, of course, but not in agreement with just one another, but it's being in agreement with the power of God. This is being together in prayer, agreeing that God's will is to be done. If we are truly going to evangelize the world, it's not going to be done by Bible colleges. It's not going to be done by missions agencies. It's going to be done by the way in which God said it's going to be done, by His people going forth and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how it's going to be done. There are many wonderful Bible colleges. I mentioned Ambassador, and of course there's Fairhaven, there's New England, there's all sorts of Bible colleges out there that are wonderful places. But understand, a Bible college is not going to reach the world. What are they doing? They're training people to reach the world. Grace Baptist Church is not going to reach the town of Oxford. But the people of Grace Baptist Church, through the power of God, can reach the town of Oxford. Each and every one of us have got to be involved. You know, in the gospel records, the Lord used the word harvest three times. He was talking about this harvest of souls, but the problem worldwide is this, that there's more of a harvest than what we have laborers for. In God's work, there's so much work that needs to be done, but we need laborers to do it. The Word of God says that it does not begin with labors. You know what it begins with? It begins with prayer. It begins with telling the Lord, Lord, I need Your help. Lord, help me, please. D.L. Moody said this, if we do not begin in prayer, we will surely end in failure. Think about that. Think about that when it comes to our families, when it comes to our marriage, when it comes to our work and our workplace and all of that. If we do not begin in prayer, we will surely end in failure. Notice, not only should we have a biblical beginning, we should have biblical authority. Everything that we do needs to be biblically based. Where do we get our authority? We get it from God. We see that over in John chapter 20 and verse 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible says this, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We've got the power of God that sends us. The Lord is the one speaking here, but oftentimes we need to rehearse this in our minds, that it is God Himself who gives us the authority. It's His command. It is the Lord God Himself who has commanded us to go, and we will gain strength by knowing that. If we understand God's power is with me, then we know that we can go anywhere God wants us to go. Our flesh is going to get weary in the work, though. It's going to. But praise the Lord, we have the power of God to keep us going. But there must be biblical authority. Also, we must have biblical power. We must. Christ said this, ye shall receive power. Praise the Lord that he said that. Amen. He told the disciples that. He said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Lord is with us. Can you imagine the transformation? Understand this. Can you imagine the transformation that would take place in our outreach, in our personal evangelism, if we sincerely abide in the presence of our Lord and are absolutely convinced, 100% convinced that God Himself is with us? Think about that. How many more people would we give the gospel to if we were absolutely convinced of that? We have the power of God in us. We have His power to do His work. We should never think that we will get the job of world evangelism done and get it accomplished with the schemes and plans that are man-made. We need the power to launch out. We need God's help with these things. This power comes from God. We cannot allow ourselves to think that talking about God's power is trusting in God's power. But that's exactly where many believers stop. Now, they'll talk about the power of God. That's with every believer. But yet, as we go out through our everyday life, we live in the power of man. If we go out and we're not the witness that God has called us to be, we're living in our own power. Because if we're the witness that we're called to be, we can only do that through God's power. You see, that will change every aspect of our life. And then also, we must have a biblical motive as well. Lord Jesus Christ said this, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what he said. You shall be witnesses unto me. You know, anyone that goes out and tries to reach the world with the wrong motive, I can guarantee you this, they will not stay. If they're going out to be a witness, if they're going out to knock on doors, if they're going out to distribute Bibles or put together John Romans or whatever it may be, if they're doing that to impress the pastor, it's not going to stick. If they're doing that, well, it's just because it's what the church does. It's not going to stick. It's not going to keep going. If someone goes out and gives out tracts just because, if I don't do this, then I'll feel guilty about it, then they're not going to be giving out tracts. You see, if our motive is wrong, then we're not going to continue to do it. We need to have a biblical motive. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said this, I have fought a good fight. Was he talking about the way that he fought? Was he talking about what he did for himself, that he was fighting? No, he wasn't talking about the way that he did it. He was talking about the fight that he was in. He said, it was a good fight that I was in, and I was continuing going on in that fight because it was a worthy fight. It was a good fight. We as believers, we are to be in a worthy fight as well. It needs to be repeated over and over in our minds. We need a biblical motive. Where we have missed it so badly is in the work that we call the work of God. Oftentimes we do it for a lesser motive. If someone is going out and they're trying to have all of these huge events and those things simply because, I want this building to be full, you're doing it with the wrong motive. No, our motive is to be so that people will trust Christ as our personal Savior so that God can do a work in people's lives. Why is it that we have a vacation Bible school? Why is it that we're having a First Responders Day this year? Why are we doing those things? Not so that this place will be full. If the Lord fills it up, that's a wonderful thing. But the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to go forth into the hearts and minds of people. We should be bathing these things in prayer. Why do we have a friend day? Why do we have missions conference? Why do we have those things? Not to say, because we've got a full calendar. No, all of us have other things to do, don't we? We're all busy people. We do those things because we want God to be glorified. We want people to be saved. That should be our biblical motive. We must also have a biblical witness. What is a biblical witness? A biblical witness is someone who knows that God has transformed their life and they're willing to take that and allow it to transform someone else's life. Every single Christian has a story to tell, don't they? It's not about how many times we tell a story or something like that. Every single time, understand this, every time we give our personal testimony of salvation, we should get excited about it. It should excite us. You know, it's not wrong to give your personal testimony and shed some tears. That's not wrong. But I think so often we rehearse it over and over and over again that we tend to forget the power of God in transforming our soul, in saving our soul from hell. Understand this, that when we are giving a personal testimony, it's not about just telling our story. It's about telling who Christ is. We are witnesses of Him. We know Him. Therefore, we are able to witness about Him. It is our God-given responsibility to be a New Testament church pioneers and to get the work of God accomplished. We are the human instruments. We are witnesses. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must have also a biblical strategy. Understand what I'm saying here. We talked about motives and those types of things. And understand this. I'm not saying that we must begin with a strategy. But the Bible says this. Let everything be done decently and in order. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because God is a God of order. We need to do these things. And it is not wrong to have fun. It's not wrong to have a good time. I have a wonderful time as a believer. Amen. I don't believe that the Christian life is something that we should not have fun in. But understand this. Our biblical strategy, no matter what it may be, as long as it's not going against the Bible, of course, it must begin with God. Why are we doing this? He told us, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." If you were to read Acts chapter 1, verse 13, and read all the way through chapter 7, you will find the work in Jerusalem. You're going to find prayer. You're going to find Pentecost there. You're going to find persecution. You're going to find other things. But then he said this in Judea and Samaria, and we read about revivals in the 8th and 9th chapter in Samaria. We read about the salvation of the Apostle Paul. Then he talks about the uttermost, and we move to the revival that was seen there in Caesarea when God spoke to Peter, and he went down to the house of Cornelius. God worked in a mighty way. We come to the 13th chapter. We find a church in Antioch, chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, it tells us about this. So through all of these things, because their strategy was right, because they knew we need to see people saved, we need to have people grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we need to start other churches, we need to send out missionaries, and we see that pattern all the way through the book of Acts. How did the gospel get to the uttermost part of the earth in that day? The same way it's going to get there today, by following God's plan. This is the strategy. There in Acts chapter 13, in verse 1 through 4, I want you to notice something here. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, notice, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for, notice those next two words, the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Who called them into the work? Was it the church? No. Was it the pastor? No. Was it some Bible college? No. Who called them? The Holy Ghost called them. He told them, "This is the work that I have for you." Then the church sent them out. The Holy Ghost called, and the church sent. The truth of the matter is this. They were sent in cooperation with God by the church. What did they do? They went unto the ends of the earth. They did not have everything figured out, but they left anyway. And before they went, though they did not have everything, all the details, though they did not know everything that was going to happen, understand this. They went in the power of God because they had a biblical strategy. They said, this is what God has told us to do. Therefore, this is how we're going to do it. They were pioneers. And the pioneers are the first wave of obedient servants. So let me ask you this. Where are we on this? Personally, where do you live? Do you think it's your responsibility just to get saved and get to heaven? Or do you believe that God has saved you to evangelize the world? There's many churches that are kidding themselves, having meetings just trying to get people on a spiritual high, if you will, or just trying to get people excited. And I understand getting people excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the Word of God, and it should be powerful preaching. But understand this, a biblical strategy is what it's going to take to get the gospel into these over 3,200 counties in America and these 50 states and go around the world to win people to Christ. But we must understand that God said, upon this rock will I build my church. It has to start with God. You know, I had a person that I was talking to one time, and they asked this question. They said, why isn't God calling as many people into the ministry today? He said, it used to be that Bible colleges were running hundreds, if not thousands of people, and most of them were men that were studying to be preachers. Why don't we see that today? Why isn't God calling that many? I said, oh, God's still calling them. But they're not listening. There's many people sitting in churches today that God has been calling their entire life. That God has been trying to get their attention over and over and over again. And if you were to ask them, are you obeying the Lord? Oh, yeah, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm going to church. Yeah, I'm obeying God. Meanwhile, there's a mission field, maybe even in their own community where they live, that God says, I've been telling you to reach those people. And you haven't as much as knocked on their door. We need the Lord's help. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to spiritually walk off the map with salvation unto the ends of the earth, because there is no stopping place. Your neighbor is within walking distance. The house next to them is within walking distance. You know how many homes you pass on the way to Walmart every week? You know how many homes you pass when you go out on family vacation or whatever it may be? All of those people need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's going to take it to them? We need churches to be planted. How are we going to plant churches? We need people to be saved. We need people to grow in the Lord. And we need people to be like Isaiah when he said this, here am I, send me. That's the only way the gospel gets to the end of the earth, is by the way that God told us to do it. Let's be willing to follow the Lord in every step.